Good morning, and may it please the Court. While this case certainly presents the opportunity for this Court to scrutinize the constitutionality of Missouri's same-sex marriage and same-sex marriage recognition ban that this Court refrained from doing 1 year ago today in Glossop, the thing that needs to be remembered in this case is that this case is essentially about two individuals, no matter what avenue this Court takes. It's essentially two individuals that are different than a heterosexual couple desiring to seek to dissolve their marriage, who can merely walk three blocks to the courthouse and file a petition for dissolution. To the contrary, they have to drive hundreds of miles to another state absent this Court's intervention, and not only drive and travel to another state, most likely have to reside there and move there for a certain period of time until they suffice that state's residency requirements. In fact, a lot has changed in the last year since this Court issued its decision in Glossop. Missouri has gone from the majority position to the minority position with respect to its formal position on marriage. In fact, over 35 states, as of last count, recognize same-sex marital status in their states. Coincidentally, only 34 states recognize interracial marriage prior to the issuance of the Loving decision by the United States Supreme Court. But changes have not only occurred outside of Missouri, they've occurred inside of Missouri. In fact, even occurred inside of Missouri since we filed our opening brief in this matter, which we've supplemented in a legal file. There are three courts in Missouri.
You mentioned Loving. In 1860 or 60, in the Johnson case, was Missouri law against miscegenation at that time?
Under the Johnson case, it shouldn't have been.
They recognized the marriage for purposes of in Missouri, but at the time, was there a Loving versus Virginia statute in Missouri? I would assume there was, because it was someone from the Indian Nation marrying someone from.
Well, I mean, in the Johnson case is obviously the model lex loci case that would essentially recognize marriage that occurred outside of the state of Missouri for the purposes of recognizing.
But that marriage would have been prohibited in Missouri, would it not?
Correct.
Okay.
It would have.
Thank you.
Not only did 35 four states recognize interracial marriage, and again, there have been tremendous changes within Missouri. Two circuit courts, one federal court. The Jackson County and St. Louis City have both declared Missouri's DOMA, which we define in our brief, unconstitutional.
Now, procedurally, the respondent never responded. Is that correct? Was there a waive or a consent, or could the judge just decide I don't have jurisdiction, even under Webb versus Wasilla? Could they get a judge decide I don't have jurisdiction without the other side actually having joined the issue? Was the other side served, or did they not enter? What happened?
The other side was we filed our petition. The petition requests the issuance of the summons. Before the summons was issued, according to the legal record, the judge, sua sponte, dismissed with prejudice the petition. So the respondent, it's not part of the record in terms of what his position is. I can represent to you that it's uncontested. But notwithstanding that, no, he was not formally served. Now, the two circuit courts in Missouri that have declared DOMA unconstitutional, as well as the Western District of Missouri that has declared DOMA unconstitutional, one might think that this has been settled. It hasn't. In fact, there's a tremendous amount of uncertainty, in fact, maybe even greater uncertainty as we sit here today. The problem is that we have recorder's offices that are still not issuing marriage license because they want a more formal understanding from this court. Even the two circuit court opinions recognize that this court someday will decide this marriage recognition issue. And with respect to the Western District of Missouri, it was specifically, the order and judgment was specifically limited to the recorder in Jackson County. So Greene County, for instance, not issuing marriage licenses, not technically recognizing marriage. People are looking for this court to intervene, and that's, of course, what we're asking this court to do today. That being said, there are three issues that we raised in our brief. The first issue concerning subject matter jurisdiction, I'm not necessarily going to spend most of my time on that issue today because I do think that it is well settled that the court did have subject matter jurisdiction. That's not an issue of first impression for this court. This court decided Webb. A dissolution proceeding is a civil matter. The Constitution gives the court jurisdiction over dissolution matters. So I think that the court did err with respect to that. The two issues that I want to devote my time to today are, first, our argument that the interpretation of DOMA does not require this any court to prevent the dissolution of a legally recognized same-sex marriage. In other words, this court can avoid the constitutional question should it be so inclined based upon that interpretation. The third point of error is that to the extent that this court deems that DOMA prevents the dissolution of a same-sex marriage entered into elsewhere inside Missouri, then we would argue that it's Missouri DOMA is unconstitutional under procedural due process, substantive due process, and equal protection. But I initially want to concentrate on the divorce issue and the fact that DOMA does not actually prevent the dissolution of a same-sex marriage. And our argument simply is that while the statute in Missouri clearly has subpart 4 says that Missouri will not recognize a same-sex marriage for any purpose. Admittedly, it looks a little daunting, and I can understand why maybe a judge might see it that way. But really our argument is, and I think it's a good faith argument, is we don't have to recognize that marriage in order to dissolve it. All that the court has to do is determine as a condition precedent whether another state recognized that marriage. The only thing that one has to plead in order to file a petition for dissolution in the state of Missouri is simply where a license was issued, the jurisdiction where it was issued, and the date upon the marriage. The court, in dissolving the marriage in the state of Missouri, doesn't have to affirm the divorce. They don't have to validate the divorce. They don't have to do anything with respect to the divorce other than to simply say, Massachusetts declared these people married. We recognize that Massachusetts did that, so we're going to dissolve that as a condition precedent.
And another state had a similar language, but they specifically mentioned not recognizing divorces. But our statute does not specifically mention that. Is that correct?
Correct. The Georgia statute specifically went further than just merely not recognizing marriage. They felt it was necessary to actually say that we're also not going to allow divorce. Missouri simply does not have that. It's devoid of that. In fact, it doesn't mention the word divorce, dissolution, or any type of separation. Not only is that position logical, it's actually also embodied in the Christensen case that we cite, which, again, it's a Wyoming Supreme Court case. Again, totally, fully admit it's purely persuasive and not precedental. But in fact, they said that respecting the law of another jurisdiction is allowed by lex loci for the limited purpose of accepting the existence of a condition precedent to granting a divorce is tantamount to state recognition of an ongoing same-sex marriage. We feel that this is exactly what Missouri already does. For instance, with respect to common law marriage, common law marriage is void in Missouri. It's not recognized in Missouri. But if two individuals came here from a state that recognized common law marriage and were deemed married based upon common law doctrine, Missouri would divorce them. Not because that they're validating the marriage, merely because they're recognizing that some state recognizes that common law marriage was valid there. So it's consistent with Missouri's longstanding doctrine of lex loci. It's consistent with the Christensen case. And again, Missouri's DOMA simply doesn't mention divorce anywhere. So this court can avoid the constitutional question today, should it desire to. But I want to devote the remaining of my time, absent any questions, to the constitutional issue, should this court deem that we simply do have to recognize that marriage in order to divorce it. It's surprisingly, when you make a constitutional argument, you think that you're, especially on a social issue that has dramatic constitutional implications, that you're going to probably be reinventing the wheel. Well, I'm really not today. In fact, since in the last year, there have been numerous states that have actually already declared this unconstitutional. Not only states, but also federal circuit jurisdictions. The 10th Circuit, the 4th Circuit, the 7th Circuit, and the 9th Circuit. I'll get to speaking about the 6th Circuit in a second, which is the only jurisdiction to knowledge that have actually upheld that ban. But every single one of those, in various ways, have declared their individual states' DOMA unconstitutional.
And the 8th Circuit, Iowa, Minnesota, is it Arkansas, have in some degree found same-sex marriage. Okay, is that correct?
No.
Iowa, Minnesota.
I think what you're probably hinting at is the Brunning case out of the 8th Circuit, but that case, so the 8th Circuit is not really...
The 8th Circuit hasn't ruled, but the 7 states in the 8th Circuit would be Iowa, Minnesota, Arkansas,
correct.
I don't know about North Dakota, South Dakota.
Correct. I understand your question now. Within the 8th Circuit, Missouri is the minority in the sense that Arkansas, Iowa, I mean, you have a lot of the states within the 8th Circuit that have already declared it constitutional.
So Arkansas, Iowa, Minnesota.
Correct. And so not only within the Eighth Circuit, without of the Eighth Circuit, outside of the Eighth Circuit, this isn't an issue really of first impression, because no matter what standard of scrutiny those courts were using, some used rational basis, some used strict scrutiny, some used intermediate scrutiny, no matter which test they're using, they're all declaring it unconstitutional. And notably, I might add that this case is a little different, because this case is about divorce. It's the same in the sense that the principles are applicable. But what I might add is that even if this court were inclined to accept any of the rational basis justifications that any state had been offering for preventing same-sex marriage, I would articulate, aside from the fact that I disagree with those justifications, they're not applicable to divorce, because divorce is unique. It's actually it's the exact opposite. The arguments that they're using are the incentive to increase procreation, childbearing, to increase the benefit of the children, tradition, consistency in determining how marriage is defined.
Of course, Judge Posner and Justice Kagan remark on those kind of issues. Address the Sixth Circuit.
The Sixth Circuit, the one circuit to actually discuss the issue and declare the same-sex statute constitutional, I would articulate that essential opinion is underscored by a philosophy of judicial restraint, but it's a unique philosophy of judicial restraint. And in fact, if the dissent in that case is probably the most eloquent opinion on the subject of all of the opinions combined, because what she said is, it's not judicial restraint to not rule on this. The case is in front of you. The issue is clearly ripe. Judicial restraint is where the court is articulating a position that's really not in front of them or going beyond what someone is asking you to do. They were clearly asking them to do that in this case. And simply sitting on the subject just is not right. And in fact, more importantly, the issue that the dissent raises in the DeBoer, the Sixth Circuit case, she specifically said, if we're relying on these small steps and we're relying on the definition of traditional marriage, we're never going to get anywhere. Because if that position is good, we would have never had Loving versus Virginia. That wasn't traditional at the time, especially within the states that had outlawed interracial marriage. More importantly, she says that it's circular. You can't rely on this justification of traditional marriage, because if we're relying on what we've done in the past, we're never going to get anywhere in the future. It doesn't make any sense.
But in Loving, the Loving case, I think it started in 62 and ended in 68, the court basically did allow it to the states to deal with it until they finally saw a trend which they decided to decide in 68. So Loving versus Virginia was sort of they heard it a little bit and then they let the states deal with it.
Right. I would agree that there was definitely a preceding trend that may have been 4 or 5 years, but clearly a trend is different than the definition here where they're saying hundreds of years of doing the same thing. On top of the fact that, I mean, I won't go into it, there are a lot of things that they were doing hundreds of years ago with respect to marriage that probably would not be constitutional today. Women were treated as property once they married their spouse. Clearly, and the dissent recognizes that in the DeBoer case. It's simply, we can't rely on this argument of tradition.
How many states, in addition to Wyoming, have dealt with the situation presented by this case with requesting a divorce in a state that has a DOMA?
Wyoming is the only one, to my knowledge, to issue a ruling. I will say that there is a case, it's called JB, and it's in Texas, that has actually been argued, fully briefed in front of their Supreme Court for over a year, and a ruling has not been issued. So Wyoming is really the only one that's actually issued a formal opinion. With respect to my last remaining time, I won't get into this very much because I could spend a whole 15 minutes on it in terms of if this court's inclined to take the constitutional approach, what level of scrutiny this court should utilize. Our argument is again, it doesn't matter based upon the other cases, but our argument is it should be strict scrutiny because we feel that divorce is a fundamental right. Clearly marriage is a fundamental right. I think everyone would possibly agree with that. But the cases that are talking about that and the cases that are routinely cited don't say marriage is a fundamental right. They say choices in family relationships, who you tend to relate with. Clearly divorce is a part of that and subsumed in that. And more importantly, if marriage is a fundamental right, in some cases, divorce is a condition precedent to getting married to the person that you want to get married to. So it clearly there has to be a fundamental right there. And if it is, no matter whether it's equal protection, due process, procedural due process, the court needs to use strict scrutiny, but notwithstanding
How have the cases in other jurisdictions broken down on what level of scrutiny they apply?
The Kitchen and the Bishop case in the Tenth Circuit used strict scrutiny on both due process and equal protection. The Latta case in the Ninth Circuit used the intermediate heightened scrutiny, which I understand there's a footnote in Glossop that says that this court may not be inclined to do that. We would articulate that this court should, based upon the precedent.
Basket. And that was Alaska, right? Alaska also did intermediate scrutiny, did they?
Correct. The Baskin in the Seventh Circuit did heightened scrutiny with equal protection. Bostick in the Fourth Circuit did equal protection, due process with strict scrutiny. Obviously, I told you about the dissent in DeVore. And then within Missouri, the Lawson case, the Western District of Missouri case, did strict scrutiny based upon the fundamental right principles.
Thank you.
Thank you very
Thank
much.
Thank you, counsel. Your time has expired. The matter will be taken under submission.